My Radio 1.
From its launch in 1967, right through the 70s to the mid-80s, BBC Radio 1 was probably the world's biggest music station. In this series, I'm introducing you to many of the people behind the network's success during those golden years, as they each tell the story of their Radio 1.
It's a happy, happy sound.
My Radio 1.
With Sean Tilly.
I think it's fair to say that this is a man who's not known for looking back very often, but nonetheless, we've persevered, and with some relentless, gentle persuasion, it looks as though he's finally relented.
Simon Mayo!
Well, Sean, what a pleasure it is to speak
Simon,
to you at last.
It's very, very nice to see you. Now, don't be like that. We're going back to the really, really early days here. Obviously, before we talk about the very first programme on Radio 1, though, when you were listening during your formative years, who are your heroes on the station?
When I was growing up, there was no alternative to Radio 1, really. It was the only station that you aspired to work for. It was certainly the only station I wanted to listen to.
Number three this week in the Radio 1 Fun 30. And it comes, of course, from the movies called Flowers in the Rain. 3 minutes now past 7 o'clock on the first of the Tony Blackburn shows from Radio 1. And we have all the press the other side of the glass there. We've got absolutely everybody in the studio. The press from all corners of Clapham Common.
Radio 1, Tony Blackburn.
Here we go. Here's a beautiful record for you. I hope you enjoy this one. The Bee Gees and the Lights Went Out in Massachusetts.
Though I remember my father, so when it was announced that Radio 1, 2, 3, 4 were going to be created, I remember him saying, although he always denied it, they were talking about Radio 1 being pop music all the time. He said, well, we're not having that on in this house. Little did he know.
Good morning to you. I hope the dawn has popped up rather excellently in your otoscopic organs today. You're enjoying the music coming your way. It's 19 minutes now past 7, 19 after 7. And in case you've been out of the country, or you've just been released, or something like that, and you didn't know there's a new lineup on 247 metres, Noel Edmonds here on your breakfast show for this Wednesday morning, and each and every weekday morning at 9 o'clock, Tony Blackburn, 3 hours right through to 12, and Johnny Walker at 2, David Hamilton, and then at 5 o'clock, Radio 1 Club. We'll have news of that Radio 1 Club for you. It's a Wednesday evening, and therefore Stuart Henry is doing his rounds. We'll tell you exactly where he is a little bit later on.
In terms of the people who I remember listening to, and particularly admiring, I would say that narrows down to probably Noel Edmonds, who was the first kind of breakfast show that I particularly remember kind of trying to hear. I mean, I remember Tony just about, but it was Noel's breakfast show that I particularly related to.
Between 7 and 9 each morning, let Noel Edmonds bring out the best in you.
That's what I intend to do, and I'm going to do it with good music, you better believe it. Find this one on the Warner Brothers label. Comes from the Mystic Moods, it's a Cosmic Sea, and it's 26 and a half minutes past 7. Good morning to you.
And I was a huge, and still am a huge fan of Johnny Walker. And my first memory of Johnny is I think he was on like for an hour at 9 o'clock.
Nice greasy record to start off the programme today. It was Presley, of course, on an oldie entitled Jailhouse Rock, which no doubt brings memories back to many. Except me, of course, I was far too young. 3 minutes now after 9. Very good morning. Welcome to the programme.
Johnny Walker.
He's the hit too. Got me dangling on a string.
And then when I was at Sixth Form College in Worthing, he did the lunchtime show, and I used to run the tuck shop, and so we used to have the radio on in the tuck shop, so we used to listen to Johnny all the time.
13 minutes to 2 o'clock. I spent a lot of weekends this past summer doing discos for young farmers clubs in big barns. I was quite surprised that a few of the guys came up to me and said, Radio 1, we hear DJs playing records for people in factories and offices and things. What about us farmers? I replied, but surely you listen to the peaceful, gentle sounds of the countryside. Apparently not these days. A lot of guys are on tractors, inside cabs. They've got cabs on the tractors these days and radios in, so they're tuned into Radio 1. And apparently Colin Sharp of Guildford is this week working as an odd job man on a farm, waiting to hear when he can start his job as a surveyor. Girlfriend Barbara Purcell wrote a card to say, would you play a record for Colin? Here comes Rod Stewart from Atlantic Crossing. For all farmers everywhere, keep the line straight. Just aim for that cow in the next field. Here's this old heart of mine.
Johnny has always been, I think, the quintessential friend behind the microphone, which is, you know, the staple of all radio, really. So to be, you know, to have worked alongside him and in the same building has been fantastic. And, you know, so I still wouldn't miss a programme of his.
Really?
Yeah.
After all these years?
Well, you know, if I can.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I will,
yeah.
If Johnny's on, I'll listen.
And it wasn't it lovely that you ended up working with him at Radio 1 when he came back as well? Obviously, we'll get around to that very soon. But so roughly how old were you when you started thinking about broadcasting as a career?
Well, my mother was a studio manager at the BBC in the 50s. So she always used to talk about the BBC fondly. And if we were driving through London, I would always ask if we could make a detour so we could come through via Upper Regent Street and Portland Place, just so I could see the building. You know, so I'm a sort of BBC person from as long as I can remember, really. So the only thing I can say in terms of a specific date is that there is a recording of me, age 9, pretending to be a breakfast show DJ on Radio 1 with my sister doing jingles. And I changed my name to Simon Stevens because I thought Simon May was a stupid name for a broadcaster. And it's me making up dedications, reading the news, doing the travel, playing the 45 singles which I had. So it's obviously, it's been there a long
time. Yeah. Isn't it wonderful how it all ended up in that case, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's fairly astonishing.
It's a premonition.
And then actually to end up doing it. I remember having a conversation with Philip Schofield many years ago, and when he was about the same age, he used to present programmes, imaginary programmes in his bedroom, and he imagined that the broom handle was a camera, you know.
Yeah.
So that's how he got to be as natural as he is on television. So I think, you know, you start early.
So how did you manage to work your way into it was BBC Radio Nottingham?
Yeah, I went to, well, I didn't wheedle my way into it. I applied and was obviously the best candidate for the job. I'd done lots of I had done University Radio at Warwick. I'd done voluntary work at Radio Brighton. I put records away in the library, and they'd done a training course, and through that heard about various jobs that were around. I went for a job at Radio London, which I didn't get, and then Radio Nottingham asked for we're advertising for a station assistant, which I applied for and got.
Radio Nottingham is the greatest, that's what it is.
So I was at Radio Nottingham from 1982, and but always wanted, obviously, to get to Radio 1, even though I was thinking I was probably going to get too old pretty soon, you know. So I joined Radio 1 when I was 28, and I thought that was too old, you know. Huh. So the Radio 1 thing came about out of a couple of things, but mainly I'd invented a quiz, because I thought the Radio 1 Sunday afternoon quizzes were weak. So I invented a quiz show, like a game show for Radio 1 called Globephone. And I recorded it with some friends using the studios at Radio Nottingham and sent the tape to Johnny Beerling, who was the controller. And, I'd sent Radio 1 tapes of me on air and, you know, never got a Scooby back, you know, nothing. But this time I did get a bite, and there was a call on the tannoy at Radio Nottingham from the receptionist saying, you know, call for Simon. And she said, it's the controller of Radio 1, it's Johnny Beerling. And I, of course, assumed it was a prank, but it wasn't. And Johnny said, oh, you're a good you know, I've listened to your tape. I was enjoying it so much I missed my tube. So they always think, okay, that's like a premonition, that's good. So he missed his tube. And he gave me a ring and he said, you're a good broadcaster. Why haven't I heard of you? And I said, I have sent you tapes before, but, you know, you just didn't listen or you didn't reply. Anyway, so then he said, you know, come down and say hi. And, of course, this is like having a number one hit record. It's the call that you always hope for.
And on today's Gary Davis programme, you'll hear Gary Davis say, not much, because he's not here.
Radio 1,
Simon Mayo through till 3 o'clock today, and Gary did say, please make your bit in the middle as much like mine as possible, except not quite as brown.
And I was asked to do a 2-week depth for Gary Davis, who was doing lunchtimes at the time. This was genuinely heart-stopping stuff, because the Tuesday lunchtime was when you announced the top 40.
Radio 1, top 40, the going gets tough, the tough gets going.
So from nowhere, I'd done nothing, not overnights, not a dep, you know, like a low-key thing. Yeah. I did a two-week stint on a big daytime show, and everyone's going, who is this guy? Truly terrifying. And then after that, I got given a Saturday night show.
You did. Saturday the 3rd of May, 1986, to be exact. You were sandwiched in between In Concert and Dixie Peach.
Dixie Peach, yeah. Dixie used to say we were the Crockett and Tubbs of Saturday night. This is a reference to Miami Vice.
Yeah.
Which was on at the time.
That's quite a good definition, really.
And Dixie was a nice guy. And we were a strange combination. But, he was always very good company. And it was a good Saturday night show. And, you know, but that could have gone either way. There were people who did that slot and then disappeared. And I could easily have done the same. But then they'd asked me to do Mike Smith Depps. He was doing Breakfast. And I don't think I made a particularly good job of it. But obviously it was good enough so that when Mike left a couple of years later, they gave me the gig.
Jermaine Stewart, and we don't have to burn Doctor and the Medics. But it's a good idea, really. Good morning, how are you today? It's Wednesday, the soggy bit in the middle. Or is that Gary Davis in Bew this afternoon? This morning. Okay, we're welcoming back Don McClure. Hello, Don.
Morning, sir.
Hello. Now, there's a famous actor, isn't there, with a McClure as the title? Yeah?
That's Doug McClure, trumpet.
Oh, that's right. Was that the Virginian?
That's right, yeah.
With 5 points, by the way, you've got a beach bag and a sun visor.
Oh,
so let's talk about that first Christmas that you were at Radio 1, 1986. It was your visits to Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Nazareth, the Dead Sea. This is really great, considering that you'd done your first programme only 9 months before. You were able to get a programme like that commissioned at Radio 1.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get it commissioned. I was just asked to do it. I think the idea had been knocking around for a while. And Johnny thought I'd be the person to go. So I went with Simon Bates's producer, Roger Lewis. And what a terrifying experience that was. Roger is the worst driver I've ever been with. And he used to drive at such a speed, you know, around Israel. My goodness me. And there was, we were driving through Jerusalem, and we were going the wrong way down a one-way street, you know. And Jerusalem is always tense at the best of times, so you don't want to be doing, you don't want to be making a mistake like that. And then the police stopped us, and Roger wound down the window and said he's a Welshman. In fact, he went on to be like chief executive of the Welsh Rugby Union. He wound down his window. He said, "It's all right, officer, BBC," in the way that, you know, British people tend to do. And he seemed to think that that was okay. Hey, you know, we got away with it.
Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Simon Mayo's Pilgrimage to the Holy Land, tonight at 7 on Radio 1.
I was most unprepared for the whole thing, but it cobbled together okay, and it made a 90-minute Christmas programme with appropriate or inappropriate music. It then got repeated at Easter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that, I've still
It was much lauded at the time as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it won some international award, but when I think back on it now, I was very, very unprepared. I hadn't done any work, really, for it.
Remember when this was Tony Blackman's Record of the Week? And I was a paddling pool attendant as well. After the fire, one rule for you. And after the fire, must go down as the unluckiest group in history. Because it is a fact that they were due to get on top of the pops with that. They got to number 40. And then Wimbledon overran, so they were cut, they were axed, and it dropped out of the chart the following week. Probably the only band in the world to have their failure blamed on Virginia Way.
Johnny, Radio 1 is one thing, but in those days it was still the era where Top of the Pops eventually came along as well. What a thrill that must have been, joining the presenter roster.
Yeah, I remember the first time I did it, because it was a catastrophe, pretty much. Janice,
in what respect?
Well, Janice Long, I had like a walk-on.
Blame me for who is is he? Well, this is Simon Mayo. He's Radio 1's latest history group. Where are you from?
I'm from Nottingham, and I'm doing Gary's Bit in the Middle for Last One tomorrow, and then I start a new show Saturday night, May the 3rd.
So you've really been thrown in at the deep end.
Yeah, shall I do a twirl?
Yes, please, can we have a twirl? This is what he looks like. He's all
expensive,
right, isn't
expensive gear, this.
We can all lust over him. Right, I'm going to throw you in at the deep end. You're on Top of the Pops.
No problem.
Do some work. Introduce them.
OK, now live on Top of the Pops, up 10 places to 21, the Pet Shop Boys.
But I didn't look at the camera once. So I looked at Janice and then I looked at the Pet Shop Boys, you know, and that was it. It was only afterwards that I realised, you know, the whole point is that you look at the camera. You know.
Had you got any television experience before that?
No, nothing. No, not at all. So, yes, you're quite right. Doing Radio 1 and Top of the Pops at the same time is head spinning. And it's hard to explain, really, to a younger audience quite how iconic both of these things were, because media is now so diverse. You know, however good music programmes are, or Radio 1 is or isn't, nothing has the impact that it... to be honest, even in the 80s, it was less powerful than it was. You know, if you were a Radio 1 presenter in the 70s, then you were a big rock star. But it was huge. You know, you turned up on Top of the Pops, people noticed you the next day.
A few months ago, Paul Young recorded his new LP in Milan. This is the first single from it, and it's Wonderland.
The whole Top of the Pops Radio 1 experience was something. You had to master the art of the 8-second link, you know, or if you're lucky, it was 10. It really didn't matter what you said. You know, they didn't care what you said, which is why often the links were pretty banal. There wasn't really much time for putting any kind of personality into it. And one time I actually introduced the band, I gave them the wrong name. And there were two bands around at the time. One was called Broken English and the other was called Modern English.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't remember which one it was, but I introduced the wrong one. And I told the floor manager, who told the producer, and they said, it's fine, doesn't matter.
It's unbelievable.
I gave them the wrong name.
That was their big moment as well, because I don't think they had another hit, did they?
Well,
it wasn't your fault, by the way.
It could well have
been. I remember, was it Coming On Strong, Broken English? That was it. Yeah. Good very record. Good.
Show.
First Radio 1 Roadshow, any memories of that? Aberystwyth,
yeah, Aberystwyth. Wow.
And that whole Welsh week.
How come you know all this stuff?
Because I do my research. You know about research.
Yeah, I do. No, no. That Welsh week was amazing because it was the first week of road shows that I'd done. Very excited to be doing them. I went to see them as a kid. It was always either Paul Burnett or Ed Stewart, wherever I went. And it was Miners' Week.
A bit of history for you from Porthcawl. Apparently it's the local miners' holiday time at the moment. Any local miners here? They're down from Bridgend in the Rhondda Valley. They come here for their annual holiday.
So it was the week when all the miners had their annual holiday, which meant that when you're at Barry Island, the first sort of six or seven rows of people in the crowd were miners on their holiday, and they had beer, and that probably wasn't their first, you know, or it probably wasn't their second, which just gave it a completely different feel. You know, it was a tough, you know, it's a tough crowd.
We have to say that we'll see you in Barry Island tomorrow. Stand by for Newsbeat and for Gary Davis. But for now, goodbye, Porthcawl. Thank you. Goodbye.
But you know, it was a slice of Britain that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, with Miners Week, that was good. Normally, I ended up getting the southwest of England. I used to ask for the southwest of England because it was such a great place to do the road shows. But I used to love doing those.
So that would be what was that? Torquay, Falmouth, is it? St Ives, that sort of area.
St Ives all the time.
Bude,
Penzance, St Austell.
Here we are in St Austell. Hello, gorgeous. Hello, locals. Say hello, tourists. Yes, welcome to the St Austell Roadshow. Special guests today appearing on the stage and performing for you at home later include the very gorgeous Nick Hayward.
I think this is Mike Leeds' line. It's the closest you got to being a rock star because you were on tour. You know, you did a show, you packed up, you moved on, signed some autographs, stayed in a hotel. Usually just for about... the hotel that we'd stay at would be somewhere where the producer could get a rate and a rate whereby he could make a bit of profit on his expenses. So even though it would be like 40 quid a night, we'd stay somewhere for £14 a night so they wouldn't one could make a bit of money. You know, but it was, you know, it was terrific fun. We had a
happy memories of Smiley Miley and the gang?
Well, mainly, apart from when they did their stunts and pranks and all that, was a little bit, I don't know, it sat a little bit uncomfortably. But that was the kind of roadshow tradition, so you didn't want to get a reputation of being a kind of stuck in the mud.
Simon on Sunday, Britain's favourite radio one.
Other programmes you were turning up on. Radio One More Time, I used to quite enjoy that, all the radio highlights of the week. Would you have any input into that?
No, that was sort of like a pick of the week, wasn't it? And I remember my producer, Louise Musgrave, who was the first producer I worked with on the Saturday night show, she was given that gig. No, it was very, it was like, whose turn is it this week? Here's the script. She'd picked the best bits, and you just went in and did the links.
Hello and good afternoon. Simon Mayo here with a selection of the highlights, and I use the word lightly, from another week on Radio 1. Well, it has to be said that this was the week that Radio 1 made history with the great FM switch on, of course. Central Scotland, the North and the Midlands joined the London area in listening to Radio 1 in brilliant stereo.
Radio Scruples.
Well, Scruples, yeah. Well, that was a religious affairs production. John Forrest.
There's some great panellists on it.
Yeah, I mean, Scruples, people will remember the Scruples board game. I mean, it was because it usually caused problems. You know, you'd be sitting there playing with your family, your parents, your children, whatever, and it threw out a bunch of moral dilemmas. And they were quite difficult and awkward to, you know, to answer. You're worried about your teenage daughter. Is she staying out too late? Is she mixing with the wrong people? You find her diary. Do you look? You know, well, that's a genuine conundrum, you know. So it made for very good conversation. Mm-hmm. And Scruples was a good, there was no music in it, but it was a good radio quiz. And then it went to TV for one season. And it, you know, more could have been made of that. But I only had this conversation last week. And I found out that Paul Fox didn't like it. And he wasn't sure why we were listening to Kylie Minogue's opinion on anything. So it didn't last. But yeah, it was, you know, that was good. It was a good, it was a good idea.
Coming to Radio 1 this Sunday afternoon, a brand new quiz show, Radio Scruples. Each week we're going to take 4 stars and ask them embarrassing questions. Like, if your girl or boyfriend turns up to go out in a dreadful outfit, would you tell them?
There's ways of doing it, I think, if you're tactful like myself. And
or if you get it wrong.
Oh, that jacket's horrible.
Without being too personal, was he your boyfriend for long?
No, we finished that night.
Radio Scruples is every Sunday at 3. And this week stars Mike Reed, David Grant, Helen Lederer and Hazel O'Connor. Radio Scruples with me, Simon Mayo, is this Sunday at 3 p.m.
Pop of the Form?
I remember doing Pop of the Form, yeah, and going around different parts of the UK, going to Mould, you know, recording these quizzes. And the producer of Pop of the Form was Mark Radcliffe.
So all this depping that you were doing, all these daytime shows that you were looking after, a little bit of a promotion resulted after all this when you moved to the early mornings at the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, ahead of Peter Powell.
Yeah, just before Peter. Yeah, that was sort of early weekend breakfast. It's a strange shift, but it was bigger than doing Saturday night. And it was an entertaining place to be. It was felt like proper breakfast radio. You know, I remember very little about the programmes other than the handover with Peter, which I always used to take the mickey out of him. And he would fall for every single thing, every joke going.
And knowing him, there would have been very few people more encouraging than him, I would think.
Oh, no, he was very encouraging. And he rang me up very early on in my time when I was just starting and I was still at Radio Nottingham. So for a while, I was doing Radio Nottingham mornings and Radio 1 on Saturday night. And he was very encouraging. And in fact, he signed me up. I was working with him, you know, as an agent for a while.
Simon Mayo, Stereo FM, Britain's favourite Radio 1.
Radio 1 was this huge radio station playing music, and most of the time it was on AM. And, I mean, it was always fighting with one hand behind its back. And then all of a sudden, the FM stuff starts switching on. London was first, which was kind of embarrassed about, because we wanted to do Yorkshire, we wanted to do Scotland or Cardiff or something. And the Saturday at 6 was when the first FM switch on happened, and we played FM by Steely Dan. But it was very, very kind of low key. But then it built and it built and it built. Yeah, and we did road shows in car parks, road shows on motorways, road shows at railway stations, just to rub in the fact that at last it was this, it was a huge deal that finally you could get to hear Radio 1 in proper music quality.
Stereo Radio 1, are you tuned to FM?
Brief spell on the evening show.
I mean, I took over from Janice Long, you know, and enjoyed it. You know, it was Monday to Thursday. Just to be on every single day, that was terrific.
Handing over to John,
so he would come in and make various comments every now and then. And I remember one show. It was another one where there was a late running concert. So Phil Ross, the producer, decided that we would try and get the same number of songs away. But the only way we were going to do that was that everything would be under 2 minutes. Every track was under 2 minutes. Some of them were so short that we had to pre-record them in batches because there wasn't time to cue them up because everything was on record. There wasn't time to get one out of the sleeve, put it on the turntable, cue it up before the thing had finished. And we finished just before. So this is Up to the Pips at 10 o'clock with the news and then John Peel. And the last track was called Mega Armageddon Death by the Electro Hippies, and it was 1 second long. And so I had to talk up to this track, play the track at like 7 seconds to ten, play it in, one sort of strident guitar beat, slight pause, Pips, John Peel comes in. He said, "That was a rocking good show."
So. Gabe, well, you can give up after that, can't you?
Yeah, no, that was great.
Yeah, wonderful. And then you get the big one. The Breakfast Show. Now, you mentioned earlier on when you covered for Mike Smith, a couple of years earlier, you felt that it didn't go particularly well. But, of course, I think it's only fair to say that you had a couple more goes before you got the gig permanently. Was it a complete shock to you, or did you get some sort of inkling?
It wasn't a shock. Mike going was the shock, and I knew as the depth that I would have a chance, and it was between me and Nicky Campbell, and I got the nod. My understanding is Roger Lewis, the aforementioned, it's all right, officer, BBC, Roger Lewis, he wanted Nicky or Chris Tarrant to come over from Capital, but Johnny said it was me, so he was the boss, so he got me the gig.
7:04, good morning, that's Aztec Camera Somewhere in My Heart. Everyone's saying, what does it feel like to start a brand new breakfast show? Feels more than anything like the first day of term at a new school. Being the new kid at the new school in your new school uniform and feel all sort of out of place and no one talks to you, worried about the homework. That's what I'm feeling now. We've got a great new field of breakfast. Hope you're going
to
like it.
We got to be quite good in the fullness of time, but it was a little bit rough and ready, I think, to start with. I have to say, there was the one thing I remember about leading up to it, having got the job, was the absolutely feeling very kind of insecure about it because zero production had gone into it. I mean, it seems incredible.
8 minutes past seven, you may well have read that there is going to be a team looking after you, getting you up for breakfast every morning. I'll introduce you to the various members of the team as they crop up. The first one is here. Her name is Carol Dooley. Good morning.
Good morning.
Taking care of the travel and weather. Where do you come from?
That's right. I come from the Emerald Isle. Kilkenny, actually.
And your life history in 10 seconds.
My life history in 10 seconds, I think I'll do it in 5. Kilkenny, Dublin, Liverpool, here.
And that will do nicely. Yes, the other member of the team you will have heard of already. His name is Rod McKenzie. We'll be talking to him in just a second because on the new breakfast show, we have news headlines every 20 minutes for you. Thank you
for coming. I mean, I would have done anything, you know, whatever they said, I'd have done it. But we started with Carol Dooley doing weather and travel and Rod McKenzie doing the news. And then I think Carol, bless her, you know, it was too soon. So Sybil came in and that was a good combo. And when Sybil Roscoe and Rod McKenzie and me, that was the thing, that was the team that a lot of people remember. And then Jackie Brambles after that and Diane Oxbury after that. So that, but they, you know, they were good and we had a template and it worked. But you had to be a collegiate kind of presenter, I think. So we got it right for most of the time.
Rise and shine on Radio 1. Good morning.
There are songs occasionally when they come up as oldies here at Radio 2, and people will comment and say, I remember you playing this on Radio 1. And I'm thinking, yes, actually, you're right. So even though I remember things like the Aztec Camera, Somewhere in Your Heart being the first track, or Talking Heads is the first song I played when I was doing the Gary Davis Show in 86. I don't know why I've ended up thinking about this, but there's a song called Voyage Voyage by Desireless, which was a sort of like a Europop synthesizer creation. And there were pauses that went through it. And for some reason, because it was funny back then, I always used to put a sound effect in each of the pauses.
I must say, as we record this programme today, it's Simon's last day here at BBC Wogan House. So not only thank you so much for squeezing me in on your last day and doing this programme, but all the very best.
I have had lots of good fortune to have controllers and support staff, you know, who over the years have thought, OK, yeah, we could have him. So I've done a daily... I was just working this out the other day. I've done a daily networked radio show every day for 31 years. Wow. So that's quite a long stint. It might even be a record because Steve Wright went away to commercial radio for a bit.
He did, yeah.
So that was broken. So I don't know. Anyway,
15 years at Radio 1 as well, Simon.
Yeah, that was pretty good going, wasn't it? I mean, yeah. you begin to realise, obviously, that you're on your last... you know, contract at some stage, you know, and quite rightly so, you know, unless you're a John Peel or Annie Nightingale figure, you know, you don't get to hang around for very long. I think 15 years is a pretty good stint, yeah. Really.
Thank you very much, everyone. Oh, blimey, the studio is full. Everywhere appears to be full. And I always had to give an awful lot of thought to my last record. I wanted to try and think of a record that summed up my relationship with you, the audience. I wanted to try and think of a record which kind of said everything that I've been trying to say over the 15 years I've been here. And I thought, oh, Cobblers to that.
And then Bob Shannon, who's the controller of Five, he said, you know, come and do this afternoon show, which I had never in a million years thought of doing. But went, and that was a career-lengthening decision, I think. And then when the changes started happening at Radio 2, he asked me, now he's the boss at Radio 2, so he asked me to come over.
Well, we're going to miss you in this building anyway.
Thank you. Well, I shall... Steve Wright has invited me to come back and be a guest to talk about my books. So I shall fully intend to do that on a regular basis, if they'll let me in.
And thanks for talking about these early days of Radio 1 as well. You remembered more than you thought you were going to do.
Yeah.
Simon Mayo, thank you.
Thank you very much.